This is WCF. Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide. This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station. Welcome to Wednesday Live, a production of WCNO Christian Radio, sponsored in part by Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. David wrote in Psalm 145, verses 11 and 12, "They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom." That's the vision of Wednesday Live, to edify, inspire, to comfort, to encourage, and to bless you. Let's see what God has in store for us today. Oh God of revival, let hope arise. Death is overcome. And
hi,
good
this
morning.
This is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you, here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
And good morning. We welcome you to Wednesday Live. And I'm trying to answer the phone here at the same time, and hopefully we're going to find that we have a guest with us. Keith, are you there?
I certainly am.
Wow, that happened all of a sudden here. We had spots on air and phones ringing, and welcome. Keith, it's been a while since we've had you on air at WCNO. We also have one of our school board, Martin County School Board members that's with us, Amy Pritchett. And so welcome, Amy.
Thank you.
Let's get your mic working here. Three. All right, let's try that again, Amy.
Thank you.
Almost got it.
There you go.
If she says thank you three times, we'll know for sure we have you. And, of course, David Francoeur is here and Karen Hubbard as well. And we are we're ready to go. So, Keith, what was kind of cooking in my prayer time and also my thoughts as I was thinking about you? I remembered how we were, I hate to use the term, but I'm a swamp boy, so I'll tell you, up to the elbows and alligators with our school board and some issues that were taking place back, I think it's well over a year ago now. And at that time, you were very beneficial here in Martin County with us, and we want to thank you for that work. But I know you have a very good state perspective on what's taking place, and I know Amy has a very good perspective on where we are here in the county. So, Amy, you're welcome to jump in at any point, and we do want to hear from you. We want to hear what's fresh here in the county. And so, Keith, first of all, let's just talk a little bit about Florida Citizens Alliance. What is the Florida Citizens Alliance, and how can our listeners today, people are going to want to get a hold of you, I'm sure, and we're probably going to have some people that want to get through to Miss Amy as well because of her work here in Martin County in the school board. So Keith, give us a little intro.
Sure. Florida Citizens Alliance is a grassroots coalition now of well over 100 groups across Florida. We've grown our active support base to over 250,000 people. We get very involved in what I call three pillars. We're very involved in the legislative cycle. Every year we do a legislative agenda, and then we work hard to try to get the legislature to support things like parental rights and school choice and get rid of the indoctrination. So we were very active this year. The second pillar is we have kids first teams and leaders in individual counties. The focus of a kids first team is to engage their whole community, the business community, the grandparents, the parents, and literally the faith-based community, to work with the school board, but to help the communities. And Amy, I'm probably going to step on a toe or two here, but at the end of the day, our long-term strategy is that our government schools are union-driven monopolies, and they're really, we can tinker with them, but they're really not going to be reformed over time. And so we really believe in helping parents find alternatives, which include, you know, taking advantage of school choice bill that was just passed, and also we've kicked off a major initiative to help Christian moms and dads build one-room schoolhouses, minis and micros. So it's all part of the competitive picture. There is not going to be a single fix to this solution that we have. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I'm going to guess that in Martin County, 50% of your kids can't read and do math at grade level on national tests. And across
actually
the state,
53%, so you're very close.
Yeah, and across the state, again, I don't know the numbers from Martin County, but across the state, 75% of our third graders on Florida's test last spring could not read at a proficiency level of 4 or 5.
Correct.
And so, and yet when we turn around and look at the average for all the counties, we're graduating 90% of our kids. So we always ask the fundamental question, how if half our kids can't read and do math at grade level and our young kids aren't learning to read, how is it we can be graduating, you know, close to 90% of our students? And so it's just a system that's broken, competitive pressure, and, you know, we had a really good legislative cycle this year, in my opinion. We had some issues with it, but in the long haul, and we can talk about that a little bit if you'd like, but there were some really good things that came out of this year's cycle. So those are the kinds of things we work on.
Keith, one more time, just give those numbers. 50% of what age group or what grade group is not able, you said 53?
Third grade.
Third grade, 75%. This is across the entire Florida. 75% of third graders cannot read at a proficiency level of 4 or 5 on a scale of 1 to 5. There are about a third of them that can read at a grade level, at a proficiency level of 3. But if you read the definition, what that means, it means they're being passed down, but they require significant help and support. And in many cases, those kids never recover. And so they become a burden on society their whole life.
One of the things but the reading proficiency is what lit a fire under me, because if you can't read, nothing else matters, and I've said that all along. And I'm actually a volunteer in one of the schools. I read to the first graders because how important it is to me. And you lit a fire under me, Keith, because I've seen you twice with Cynthia Lucas's tea party. And you got myself and my friend Julie excited about getting the proper materials in the public schools and taking out the ones that are not. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. There was a really good phonics bill requiring phonics and accelerated math bill that was passed in both chambers and signed by the governor this year. So it actually prohibits whole sight word reading methodology and requires now phonics to be taught starting in kindergarten. So that's a big, big plus.
That will be statewide? That's a statewide direction?
Yes.
Okay. So that is a plan to improve what we're dealing with. Wow, so that's a positive. Just looking at the negative starting out here, I'm like, okay, Jesus help us. So what is happening that is positive in regards to the legislative work that you've just come through? What can you give us a report on that?
Well, we have a team of people that evaluated over 85 bills, and we ended up focusing on 19 of those that we strongly supported. Of those, about 14 got passed. I don't have time to go through all of them, but I'll give you a couple highlights. House Bill 1, which is the school choice bill, we ended up supporting that bill because it puts competition in. What that bill does is it provides $7,500 to every student in Florida to go to a private school or to homeschool. I have to put a caveat on the homeschool, and this is one of the areas we fought against and lost. In Florida, we have a very unregulated homeschool environment up until this bill. And what by that I mean that a homeschool mom and dad, just all they had to do is register with the county, and the county had the right to come in once a year to see what you were doing with your kid. Now with this new law that passed, they're going to provide $7,500, and the first year they're going to allow 20,000 homeschool moms and dads to take that for one of their children. But if they take the money, they have to take a government test. And we fought that because we felt that keeping the unregulated environment of letting parents use a portfolio, take a test if you want, but now they're required to take a test, and we just firmly believe that people teach to the test. And by the way, the 20 tests on the Department of Education website, 17 of them are still Common Core compliant, believe it or not. So why would we be testing all of our kids when we claim to have gotten rid of Common Core with Common Core tests? So there's still some work to be done.
So that's a positive thing. So that does give a lot more options to parents.
Absolutely, and that's why we supported it, because now every traditional public school parent has the option. There will be a capacity shortage, with all of the people fleeing from the north into Florida, and the people because of COVID getting out of government schools. There is seriously a shortage of private schools capacity. So it's going to take some time for the market, if you will, to adjust. But throwing $7,500 per kid at the problem will attract entrepreneurs. We did just see yesterday a bad side of that. It was a school called IMG where the Chinese came in and bought for $1.25 billion bought that school. So. It's a K through 12 school, so throwing money at a solution isn't always the problem. So I'm sure there'll be some challenges that have to get fixed as we move forward. But overall, competition is the only way to break the monopoly hold, and so that's why we supported it.
So when does that actually apply? When would parents be able to have access to those resources?
For the fall, the state
immediately
the program is going to be managed by Step Up for Students, which is a non-governmental organization here in Florida that manages all of our scholarships. They put out some preliminary administrative instructions on how and when. It's still not as specific as it needs to be, but parents need to be tuned in to Step Up. And, of course, we'll be doing our part to share that as widely as we can so that parents can take advantage of those funds.
So did you say that's limited to the first 20,000 applicants?
The homeschool, it's available to every child in Florida. If you want to leave a public school and send your child to a private school.
Gotcha.
If you can find a private school, that's available. You can do that. What's limited is in the first year, only 20,000 homeschool families can take that money. And then the second year, it's 40,000, and that grows each year.
Okay, well, that's good news. Okay, so that's the first bill. What else do you see as being a positive movement that took place?
There were some amazing bills, and I don't have time to go through all of them, but I'll try to hit three of them. So, if you remember last year, we had a bill, Parents' Rights in Education, that the left labeled Don't Say Gay.
Yeah.
And it was for K-3, and it prohibited the instruction in gender dysphoria in kindergarten through third grade. That bill got expanded and signed into law by the governor last week ago. Now pre-K all the way through eighth grade. That's huge. And it goes even further. In law now, it defines sex as strictly a function of your chromosomes. And then it also prohibits full stop. It prohibits anybody in a government agency, including schools and contractors, from using any pronoun other than their chromosome-related pronoun. So all of this pronoun crap that's been going on out there is theoretically gone. Now, it's going to take school board members who stand up and enforce that, because there's still a lot of teachers out there that believe they should be able to teach that. So but the law now firmly prohibits the use of pronouns, full stop. So that's a good bill. A second bill that we got behind big time was the I call it the transgender bill, and basically what it does is it prohibits in law any medical professional from doing any surgery that mutilates a minor's body or provides puberty blockers, and if they do, they lose their license, commit a third degree felony, up to 5 years in jail. That's a very positive bill in our view, and we put a lot of energy into supporting that.
That is excellent. That is excellent.
The final one I'll mention is a bill that hopefully your school board's excited about, Amy. In the past,
the unions.
That's exactly where I'm headed.
She knew.
Yeah, the unions and up until this bill, the school districts have always been collecting the dues for the unions and then writing that check
right through the now payroll system.
Yeah, now with this bill being signed into law, the teacher has to write their check every month to the union. So it's no longer going to be a payroll deduction. And what's really important, and what I hope each school district does now, is a much better education program. 6 or 7 years ago, the state legislature under Governor Scott created a liability policy for teachers. So they don't need the union's liability coverage. But the unions won't tell them that. So a combination of a massive program to let the teachers know they don't need that liability coverage because they have it through the state, and by the way, they see the chunk of their check now going out every month. If the number of people that the in a school district drops below 60% of those that they're claiming to represent, the union becomes decertified. That's huge.
And we are in that process right now. Our union is not at 60% right now. So we're just waiting. We're waiting and waiting and hoping and praying.
Well, another part of that bill that's good is it puts some real rigor into the auditability of the unions, because they've been fudging the number. Many of them have been fudging the numbers. And so now they have to go through an actual independent audit to prove their numbers when they submit. So that's all good.
All right, so we had talked in the past about the Hope Scholarship. Is that even something that's necessary now in light of the funding, where a parent can choose to put their child either in a private school or else homeschool them? How does Hope tie into this whole thing, and is it even necessary?
Well, we argue that it's very much necessary, because the bullying is still taking place and the money's still there. Yeah. And it's very easy to qualify for that money. In fact, just in St. Lucie County, north of you, it's an active case I'm working on this morning. We had a teacher who's teaching a Greek mythology class. And she required her students to draw a picture of God. And when some of her students refused, she said, "Well, if you won't, you just get an F."
Wow.
Every one of the students in that class is now eligible for the Hope Scholarship, which is $7,500 to go to a private school. And that's immediate. Right? All I have to do is file the complaint. And so we're in the process of escalating that to the Department of Education. We're going to give the superintendent a chance to do what's right. But if he doesn't do that, what's right today, then we'll be asking many DAs to get involved.
Wow, that's tremendous. Some of our listeners are not familiar with the Hope Scholarship. Can you just give us a little thumbnail of how that works and how people could apply for that? Because I've also heard of parents where their kids were being sort of pushed into the educational alignment on various days with the whole transgender thing.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's real simple. The bill was labeled the anti-bullying bill when it was passed in 2017, and it does three things. It changes the legal definition of bullying to include threat, intimidation, and harassment, plus all the things you normally think about. But the second thing it did, which was huge, is it now makes anybody on school property or school-sponsored event eligible to be a bully. Which means your teachers, your bus drivers, your principals, your administrators, the lunchroom manager, another parent, anybody on school property can now legally be a bully. And the third thing it did, which is the most powerful, is it put all of the power in the hands of the parent. If you're a parent and you believe, you don't have to prove a single thing, if you believe your child is being threatened or intimidated by anything being taught, all you have to do is write a written complaint, fill out a one-page notification form off the state website, check the box, take it to the principal. The principal is legally required to sign it within 24 hours, whether they agree with you or not. And the day they do, you then submit that form to Step Up for the scholarship of up to $8,000 per child per year to send your child to a private school. The caveat, it has to be a traditional public school. It can't be a charter school. But it's a huge tool that parents can use when their children are being bullied. The example I gave you was a great one, but with all this sexually explicit material in the schools, if your child stumbles across that, you don't have to prove it's age inappropriate for your child. If you believe it is, it is, and just check the box. Any social emotional learning that you believe is intimidating or threatening to your child, check the box. Of course, critical race theory, Black Lives Matter, teaching evolution as a fact, and little Susie speaks up and says, I'm a Christian. If she gets denigrated in any way by the teacher or her classmates, check the box. So as past Commissioner Corcoran used to say, he actually wrote the bill, as he used to say, every parent paying attention every day can qualify for the Hope Scholarship. It's just the school districts tend to hide it, so...
So that would actually be available to at any time during the school year. So if an incident takes place, then a family could apply for that or act upon that. But you said that's only available to transfer to another public school.
No, it's available to transfer. There's two flavors of it, and I didn't mention you can get a $750 voucher to go to another public school, but you can get an $8,000 voucher to go to a private school of your choice.
Wow, okay. So that does include private.
It's up to $8,000 per year to leave a traditional public school and go to a private school of your choice, assuming they have capacity.
Right. Okay, that's tremendous. So what about the micro schools? Tell us a little bit about that. And
We're super excited about that program because when you stop and think about it, and I'm sure I'm older than all of you, when I went to school back in the late 50s, early 60s, it was very benign, but the system was already morphing into a socialist system. The influences of John Dewey, who brought back in the late 1917 time frame, and the Frankfurt Group, who came into our elite schools, bringing in literally a Marxist view of education, and it's just evolved somewhat slowly. Until recently, and now it's really with the unions being openly Marxist, it's now really ramped up into a Marxist school system. So we believe that a key piece, if a parent wants to really have their children learn their values, and that you can't send them to an 8 hours a day to a public school and then try to fix it 2 days on, you know, 2 hours on Sunday. So we've started a micro school initiative. We're working with five different God-centric curriculum partners. They're all a little bit different, so they offer a little bit different value proposition. We're training grassroots consultants, we're calling them ambassadors, to come alongside Christian families and help them realize just how easy it is to start a one-room schoolhouse. But, you know, the and you all probably heard this, you know, give unto Caesar what Caesar's do, give unto God what's due to God. Well, if you put your kid in a school that's really based on, you know, Caesar, you shouldn't be surprised when you get Romans back. And so we just think a major aspect of quality education for our children to save our republic is re-engaging the faith-based communities and to get back into education.
Wow. Amy, speak up. What's happening here in Martin County, and what questions do you have for Keith today?
Well, a couple of statements. With the right people in place, public schools can become better. I believe that, but it doesn't happen overnight. But if you get the right people to make the decisions and follow the laws of the state of Florida, the things that people are fleeing the public schools, they'll stay. So I'm not a Pollyanna, and I'm not saying it, like I said, it's going to happen like that. But we've made some real good decisions here in Martin County. We're following the law, and we are under no cloud of, oh, we can get away with anything. But the people that are sitting up there with me feel the same way that I do. I'm one person, but we have a system in place. We have a new superintendent who's getting sworn in tomorrow. And he will follow the same path that Dr. Millay previously followed, and that is we're going to follow the law. And there's nobody on that dais who thinks otherwise. And if that continues, if people keep electing people who believe that following the law and he's our creator, things will get better. But I agree with you, Keith. Right now, the competition, it's what's going to get the public schools' attention. If the public schools want to be good, functioning, wonderful schools, they have to be with the times and the laws and what school was intended for. School wasn't intended to take the place of the family and the family values. School was to teach your basic reading, writing, arithmetic, science. Yes, there's sports. Yes, there's art. Yes, there's music. But what you do as a family and how you want to raise your children comes at the family, not at the school. The school isn't in the business of raising children to have good values. We want them to. But with all the things that are coming around the bend, the whole transgender, the pronouns, if you want to do that in your family, nobody can stop you. That is your right. Parental rights do swing both ways. Do I want that to happen? No. But when you come to school, you're there to learn. You are not there to learn social-emotional learning or critical race theory or learn that your white child somehow is oppressing a black student. Those are the things I am totally against and want them out of the schools 100%. And until that happens, we are not going to have solid, wonderful public schools. I see glimmers of hope, and I live my life that way. I have faith that eventually we will have the public school system as it was intended to be, not how it has been twisted and turned and molded into something that is almost unrecognizable at some point. But I'm happy because I'm with people who believe like I do and want the schools to do what they're intended to do. However, I'm a full proponent of choice. parents have that right. If you're not happy in the public school, you should be taking your child somewhere else, because that is your choice.
And now there's resources to do that.
Exactly.
Well, let's just take a real short sort of identification break here. Keith, hopefully you can hang on, hold on with us for a few more minutes. This is WCNO in Palm City, Florida, and you're listening into Wednesday Live today. And I want to, again, just thank Amy Pritchett, who is on the Martin County School Board, and also want to thank Keith Flau, who is with us from the Florida Citizens Alliance. And we're just talking about what's taking place in our state, what's taking place with education. And it sounds to me like we need to continue in prayer and continue to be awake and informed and active. But we have a lot to be thankful for, I believe, at this time. So, Keith, again, tell us how people can find out more about your organization, because you have just tons of resources to help families that are looking for best choices for their family.
Certainly, and thank you for allowing us to do that. Our basic website is www.goflca.org. So goflca.org. And you can see you know, all of the work that we do there, the legislative work, the Kids First teams, community work, and the solutions that we offer and promote. So I urge you to join that. We just finished the legislative cycle, but we make it very easily. We do action alerts, and we make it very easy for our 250,000 people to tell the legislature what they want to do as a bill goes through the process. So I encourage all of your listeners, doesn't cost anything, to subscribe to our database and then take those action alerts. There'll be less of now that the session's over, but we'll still be focusing on things like this micro school program. So we invite you to support.
All right,
just by joining.
Thank you, Keith, and please stand by, because we may have a couple more questions, and I don't know, we may have someone in the audience that'd like to just call in today that might have a question for either of our guests today. Amy, again, we want to thank you for being with us and for your work along with many others, and I know many churches and many pastors are sort of listening carefully, and our congregations are tuning in a little more carefully. I believe we're seeing some of that take place. But how can people get their thoughts to you as a school board member? I know sometimes people go, well, I wish I knew what I could do or what needs to be done or what's going on. So how can people communicate with you and the school board?
Sure. So my school board phone number is 772-341-9860. But you can also email me at PRITCHA@martinschools.org.
All right. And, you know, to both of our guests today, I'd like to just ask this question. How important is it that parents do more than just send their kids out the door and actually get involved in what's taking place? Because if I ask the question, how did we get here? I think the obvious thing is we were asleep. I don't know that. I mean, I've been in church. I've been pastoring for a lot of years. And it just seemed while we slept, the enemy was wide awake. So how important is parents' participation? And if someone has not really been involved, where do they start? Ask you first, Amy.
Sure. Well, you can always contact anyone on the school board, but come to school board meetings. Look at the agendas. They come out. They're public information. You can go to martinschools.org and scroll down to school boards and click on boards and agendas, and you can actually see what we're going to be discussing at workshops and school board meetings.
Okay, so the agenda, you can find
public,
the agendas?
It comes out 1 week before every posted meeting. So the next school board meeting is on June 20th. On June 13th, you'll see the agenda. See what catches your eye. There are things in there that, honestly, I didn't realize when I first started this. There's lots of information. Who we're hiring, who's retiring, what we're going to be discussing, what different curriculums are available, things like programs that are coming in, alliances that we're forming. It's endless. Sports, everything. And maybe it's benign to some people, but hidden in those agendas, and I mean hidden in the way of if you don't click, if you don't keep clicking, you're not going to see it. But there's always attachments to some of the things we talk about. How much it's going to cost. How much it's going to improve things. Data. A lot of things are data-driven. But to your question, I know everyone says COVID opened a lot of people's eyes because kids were home and their parents were seeing what was on their computers.
I've heard that.
But I'm going to say basically the trust that we place on people outside of our family has to be looked at. You shouldn't just blindly trust people.
So you're saying accountability,
accountability
is everybody's
and parents
job.
Have to be accountable. I didn't know that teacher gave them that assignment. Look in their backpacks. Talk to other parents that you feel comfortable with and ask them, do you know this is going on? Can you give me more information? If they're playing with a new kid, find out who that family is. And I don't mean you have to be like a detective.
Right. You don't have to be an undercover. This is public information that can be ascertained.
Exactly. And if a parent is sending their child to school and not following up, then it's on them too. You know, call a teacher when you're concerned. Don't wait till the teacher calls you. Don't assume that because the teacher didn't call you that nothing is wrong. No. Get to know the faces. Be there so that it isn't a surprise. And a lot of parents fail to do that. And I'll be honest, when my kids were young, I sent them out the door. You're in kindergarten, you're in first grade. Oh, I can now do what I want to do. It isn't like that. We must be accountable, and our children need to know that we're interested in their education.
And engaged.
That we're not just closing our eyes and saying, it's all on you now, it's on all of us.
So, Keith, what's happening with families across the state of Florida? I know here in Martin County, we're seeing people showing up. I've been to some of the school board meetings, and frankly, it's shocking, and it's alarming, and it's embarrassing to me to see how some people behave that are I would say, radically opposed to what is traditional education. And, I mean, you could leave the word Christian out and just say traditional education and seem to be so radical. But where are parents? What do you see happening in the state of Florida? Is this more than just in a couple counties?
No, it's. I think the anger and the frustration is pretty much United States wide. I think we're seeing it here across Florida. But I'd like to go back, if I can, to your question.
Sure.
Of why is this important? And I'm going to answer that with a question. Is it important that your children and your grandchildren live in a free society?
Yes.
Yes.
We are hanging over the edge, if not over the edge, of tyranny. Our world is upside down in every respect. I mean, you can't even declare a boy and a girl, and the sexual content that's in our schools is rampant. Martin County has less of it than most of the other schools that we've looked at, but it's rampant throughout. The social emotional learning, most people, when social emotional learning came out, most people thought social emotional learning sounded okay. You know, it was teaching kids to get along. Mm-mm. Well, social emotional learning has morphed into a very simple statement. There are no absolute truths. There are only your personal feelings which become your truths, and facts don't matter.
Yeah.
Well, when you start teaching that to young children, it just implodes on itself. And so you're seeing across the state that sense of anger, that sense of frustration. And we implore people not to get up and rant and rave. But we do encourage people to get up and as professionally as possible hold school board members' feet to the fire. I mean, we've had a number of our team leaders across the state get up and read excerpts out of these sexually explicit novels and get shut down because they're so obscene, and yet they're okay in our school system. If we got a minute, I'll get off topic on one other item that occurred that I think your listeners will find fascinating. Do we have another minute?
We do. We do. We actually we have about 4 minutes.
Okay. Have you heard of a graphic novel series called Assassination Classroom?
Yes.
I have.
We put it out to all of our school board members. So, Amy, I hope you've heard about it.
Yes, and it isn't in our. It is not in our libraries.
We found it in four counties without really looking very hard. Hillsborough County has multiple copies of this in grade school, and it is a graphic. And Polk County, Osceola County, and Brevard all have copies of this in their middle schools and above. And what this is a graphic series of novels that show young teenagers killing their teachers, and actually it takes on strong sexual overtones because it has a young girl parked across the body of a teacher that she just shot in the head, blowing the smoke off the end of her pistol. This is in our public schools, guys.
And wow. People are protesting this. People want these books in our schools because it helps the children learn about reality.
Yeah. Well, we have laws that prohibit that. Our state constitution says you must provide a safe environment, and this violates all of that.
Yes.
So I'm hoping that the school boards, you know, have the courage to stand up and say no. But that's how upside down our world is. And, you know, in one respect, I think parents and grandparents have the right to get angry and have the right to get frustrated. But it really serves us all better when we do it in a professional way rather than, you know, just throwing rocks without solutions. So,
well, we are kind of closing in on our time here. Amy, what else do you have to share with our listeners today? Again, Amy Pritchett is with us, and she is with the Martin County School Board. What else would you like to share to our listeners today?
I'd like to mirror something that Keith just said. We have lots of people coming to our board meetings now, and the majority of them are what they call yellow dots. They wear yellow in coordination with how the Nazis made the Jews wear a yellow star, and our schools are doing that to our kids. So they're using it in a very negative way.
What is a yellow dot?
A yellow dot is someone who wears a yellow shirt or a little yellow dot on them, and they abhor that we want these profane and sexually explicit materials out of the schools. They claim that we are no better than Nazis. So that's the correlation. So what I would say to anyone that's listening, if you feel the way that we do, that children need to be children, please come voice your concerns. Make sure you're checking your kids' backpacks. Make sure you know who your kids' teachers are. Have conversations with them. Be involved so that if it does happen, you'll be right on top of it. And you can let us know that it's happening.
All right, Keith, closing thoughts?
Yeah, I'm going to pick up on a point that Amy said. Just follow the law. We have really a pretty good obscenity laws for minors.
Yeah.
We have now some new laws that have just been put in place both last year and this year. If you don't like the law, then get it changed. But you don't have the right to ignore the law at your own self-interest. So we just encourage people to stay focused on, if you believe in the rule of law, that's our only choice. If you want tyranny, then it comes with all of the evils that tyranny will bring. So follow the law.
Amen.
Keith, would you lead us in just a moment of prayer over our state? And I'm so thankful that both you and Amy came and joined us today. I believe this is something we have to just keep before our people and before the Lord, and it's important for us to make this available to our listeners.
Certainly. Father, we've had a very interesting conversation today on what's happening to our young children in public schools. It's been a long time coming. As we've said, we've allowed this to happen through our apathy, through our getting sidetracked on other daily issues. If we don't save our children, then nothing else in the long term matters. Our country, our republic, the independence. So please, God, encourage all of the people listening to this program to take a stand, get involved, and protect, rescue their children and their neighbors' children from some of these major issues that are happening in public and private schools, for that matter. So get involved in your child's education, disciple your child, your grandchild, and we ask all of this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Again, Amy Pritchett, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Keith Flau, thank you for joining us today. If you are listening and you are wanting to find some phone numbers, contact information, websites, etc., we will be happy to help you here at the station. Karen, just give out our numbers so people would know again how to reach us here.
Yes, you can reach us at 772-221-1100. 772-221-1100.
We're going to be back in just a minute. I'm hopeful to make connection with Chris Fogle, and we're going to give a little update on the most recent National Day of Prayer event, wherein we had as a guest speaker Jonathan Kahn. Be right back with you.
If they see my face.
welcome Chris Fogle with us. And Chris, you're with the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, and we want to thank you and the team that works with the Alliance. Thank you for coming on air with us today, and thank you for sponsoring Wednesday Live. Welcome.
Well, thank you. It's always good to be with our friends at WCNO, who have been very supportive of the Treasure Coast Christian Alliance. As you know, we have been quite busy. We've got upcoming, for example, our 7th annual Christmas Proclamation Supper, and that will be on December 3rd. But we just recently had our National Day of Prayer at the Mid-Florida Civic Center in Port St. Lucie, and this year was unusual, Jonathan. We had a speaker, which we've never had before, and it was Rabbi Jonathan Kahn. We had well over 800 people, and bless his heart, he signed books for well over an hour after the service. And just prior to that, a week before, we held a conference for pastors and school principals on the new rules and regulations through the state of Florida that affect not only schools but churches as well, put on by John Stemberger, who is the president of the Florida Family Council. He's an attorney in Orlando and very pro-Christian gentleman who's worked very hard to preserve the rights of Christians in the state of Florida. And then we've got coming up on September 28th, the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer. That is going to be an incredible gathering. We hope to have well over 1,000 people, primarily younger people, out along Virginia Avenue near the Fenn Center and Longwood Stadium. That will just be open air prayer, singing. It's going to be a terrific evening.
Well, thank God for the Treasure Coast Alliance and for all the body of Christ. You know, Chris, when we come together, it's absolutely a powerful thing, and God can accomplish so much when the resources that are in the body of Christ, the individuals, the gifts that God has gifted the body of Christ with, you know, we look at that, it really brings together a great team that is able to accomplish so much more when we're together, and that really is what I know the Alliance is about, and we're very thankful for the community that supported. And as you said, the National Day of Prayer, that was kind of a new thing, but what, the National Day of Prayer celebration, in that, what is this, year six or seven? What year was that for the Alliance?
I think this was year seven.
Maybe seven, uh-huh.
And It's always been a well-attended gathering because we have our psalmist, Jim Sunderworth, who brings his musicians together, and they open it up in praise and worship, and it really gets the crowd really fired up on the Lord and really prepares their hearts for prayer, and it's incredible. And, you know, you hear today this word DEI is a bad word to Christians. It's diversity, equity, and inclusion. But it depends how you look at those words. When you see an event of Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, diversity is there amongst all peoples, from Hispanic, Black, White. It's always well attended by all. And as far as equity, we're all part of the eyes of Jesus Christ. So we look at it a different way. Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, we look at bringing the body of Christ together. One Lord, one Savior, and we all have that in common. Now, we may have a different name on the building where we attend church, but as long as the building that we're entering worships the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they're part of our body. And that's what we try to do, is bring everyone together to celebrate the Lord at all these different gatherings that we have. Even the instructional one that we had the last Thursday of April was really to equip the saints to make certain that their bylaws in their church or their school are written well enough to protect them against any potential litigation that could occur if they don't have their house in order, so to speak.
All right, Chris, some of our listeners, obviously many of our listeners, were not here because of just, you know, living down south or maybe even further north. But we did, we filled up, had a great crowd at the Civic Center there. That was tremendous, the Mid-Florida Event Center. But one thing I wanted to make mention of, if someone was not able to attend, we do have on the website, I've seen that on the website, where Jonathan Kahn's message can be pulled up. And so if our listeners did not catch that, that is a means to pull that up. And incidentally, what I heard was not just a message from previous presentations. He had a message for the Treasure Coast of Florida, I heard. What did you hear?
I heard the same thing. I mean, when he looked out and saw the audience that he was presenting his message to, I think he tried to assure us that, you know, we are in some troubled times, very troubled times. And you know, he makes no bones, it's going to affect all of us. Because he went back into the history when we talked about turning and taking God out of the classroom and then taking the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. And then the World Trade Center bombings, they start tying a lot of things that have happened and now are happening. Like this gender mutilation was not something you or I even thought of talking about 5-10 years ago.
Could not imagine.
And all these things have progressed because our country is special. Our country, he equipped it, or he equated it to Israel as being the second country, only to Israel, Jerusalem, if you would, that was set apart by God and granted tremendous favor. A country where everybody wants to come to, but now we got to wake up and be bold and stand firm in our faith.
Amen.
And this is where the road gets really tough for all Christians, including Christians right here in the Treasure Coast. And, you know, you had your guest on before, but it means making certain that we have people on the school boards, the county commissions, the city commissions that respect the rights of Christians, not just Christians, but human beings, the sanctity of life. So, yeah, the Treasure Coast is special. We've been coming together for, Jonathan, what, the last 7 years?
Yes.
And great things are happening in our community as a result. You know, our economic growth, the reduction in violent crime, especially in the area. Years ago, Fort Pierce was considered a violent community. Not now. Fort Pierce now is a jewel in the Treasure Coast. And every month there's a caravan for Christ that drives all around and prays over the community. And that's been going on for 7 years. And it makes a difference. So, you know, not just bringing us together, but bringing us together with a purpose. To know that we are better together in prayer.
Treasure Coast Christian Alliance, if you were not able to be at the event and you would like to hear the message that Jonathan Kahn gave, you can, and also to find out more about the Christmas Proclamation Dinner that's coming up. Chris, you mentioned that, the Treasure Coast Day of Prayer that's coming up. Can go to TCC Alliance, TCC Alliance. .com, TCCAlliance.com. Chris, thank you so much for your leadership. You do a great job. with the Alliance, and we thank God for you. We lift you up in prayer, and I again want to just say a big thank you to you and the team that sponsor this hour every week. This is Wednesday Live, coming to you on Wednesdays from 11 to 12 every week, and the Alliance support is a tremendous blessing, and also to all who support this ministry, we just say thank you very much. Chris, would you close off our time in prayer, and we'll look forward to reconnecting again soon.
Father God, we just want to give you thanks and praise, Lord. You are the one that allows